Yesterday we looked at Michael in Jude verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee," or "The Lord correct thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and these things, they corrupt themselves. Now, we touched on that a little bit yesterday, right? I should know better than that. That Now, in the way this is translated in King James, you wouldn't think it means what it is. But these speak evil, they blaspheme, it's blasphemo, that which they know not. And it's the oida, which means it's the whole range of that which is invisible, that which isn't known by the senses. They speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, they know by the senses, in these things they corrupt, by these they are brought to ruin, is what it says. Now, remember when we were studying the Heidelberg Disputations, when we were looking at what Luther said in his argument against the Catholic Church, as it was at the time. He said this incredible thing, that the cross really doesn't have much to do with that which you think is evil, or that which is evil. The cross comes against that which you think is good. And so when the issue here is, and it doesn't matter whether it's politics or whether it's anything else, you can always have an opinion. And you can be convinced that it's the right opinion. And so in doing so, you judge down someone else of their opinion. Now, that is the railing accusations, because it blasphemes the idea that God is in perfect control. It would be like going inside a womb and watching everything that's going on and saying, well, you know, and judging down the water in the womb, or the whatever, I don't even know what's in there, but the things that are necessary for birth but are not part of the actual birth. And that's what time and space is. You've got to get this in your mind. And therefore, everything in time and space is exactly as it should be. And as a color or an emphasis to that, there is nowhere in the scriptures, in the New Testament, where Christ or any of the disciples spoke against anything except the prevailing religious system. So these speak evil, they blaspheme the things that they know naturally, as brute beasts. Brute beast is a logos, it means with, and zoon, it means without, that they're without the logos, and they're acting as a natural brute beast. And they're brought by these things, by their judgments, by these railing accusations, they are brought to ruin. Now, it's easy to see somebody else doing that over there. The question is, are you doing it? Are you bringing railing accusations against something, a political system or a something that you don't like?
Or somebody who's doing that.
What?
Or somebody who's doing what we're reading.
When? I think there's something incomplete in the room, because it's like I'm talking to the ceiling again here. Who's not here? You here?
Me? Yeah.
Okay. Woe unto them, in verse 11. For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and are perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, the things that he's used in his examples here are, you know, the people that left Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels that have left their first estate. He's starting to meddle. He's touching everything. These have gone the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? No. That's the way of Cain is, remember, trying to make an offering from that which is of the ground. The ground is cursed. And so you're making an offering by your works. Now, how are you making an offering by your works? By putting God's name on what you're doing. By giving it importance, as he said. Then you are... I mean, if you understood these few verses, it condemns the entire human race. You've gone the way of Cain instead of the way of the cross, or the way that's the way of Cain. It isn't. This is everybody. Because you sit, every time there's something, you sit and you dig around in the dirt, you till the earth until you figure out what you can sow in there so that you can come up with some idea or some solution. You call it an idea. The worship or giving importance to idea is going the way of Cain. And I promise you, it's only because of his mercy and grace that you're not destroyed. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Really do?
Well, I'm not sure I believe it.
Then discuss it with me. Instead of sitting there, when I said that, you became a black hole.
We talk about the idea thing all the time, and sometimes I just totally see it, and there's no question. I guess sometimes I resist it.
Like now?
Probably a little bit.
But resist it openly. Tell me why. Tell me what basis you have for resisting it. Otherwise, it'll become this thing in you.
Well, I think I'm resisting it in thinking about. I mean, I'm kind of analyzing it. Let me see, does that mean every idea all the time completely bad? I mean, that to me can become just another form of religion. Okay, I had an idea, I'm bad, I gotta repent, I had an idea. I don't think that way. I I take it out and see
where is the source of the idea?
And seeing needs that need to be met, and then contemplating, looking at them, saying, well, what are we going to do about this? Ah, here's what we'll do. Got an idea. We'll move this over here and put that over there. That takes care of that problem.
It's disparate elements that come together as a synapse.
So
where does that take place?
Job sites or?
No.
It takes place in the whole sensory realm.
It takes place in the mind.
Yeah.
Now, do you believe that your carnal mind is enmity against God?
Yeah.
No. Your carnal mind doesn't mean there's a part of your mind that isn't carnal. It's just an explanation of the mind of the flesh. Is there a part of your mind that you believe that originates from God?
Well, I mean, these are leading questions taking me to a conclusion that I
don't go down
that road, because I don't think, you know, what is that? That's a programmed response.
But you have to take this to the multiplied end.
Well, the end is it's sanctified, everything I do. And when I'm doing what I do and I leave here, it's either sanctified or it's not. And I don't know, that's just the way I function in the world, and ideas are part of the function. And then to call everything I do evil in that function doesn't add up to me.
Then we need to discuss it, because there has to be clarity in this above all else.
Okay.
I'm not trying to lead you down a path. I'm asking you if. Do you believe what Paul said in the book of Romans, that the carnal mind is enmity against God? You know what that enmity means? The massive amount of hate. One of you has to die. Now, I'm not saying that God isn't forgiving and he hasn't, but I'm saying to you that the moment you give importance to some idea, that you place it above no idea, then you become endangering. You are moving towards breathing life into the Antichrist, and he will soon take over the temple.
Okay, so there's a crossover point by what you just said. The idea is not evil; it's the giving breath to the and being willing to kill the brethren.
Now listen.
If there's opposition.
You remember what the word give breath means? It's the verb to love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. You can't love two things at once. If you give importance or breath to an idea, then you leave loving God. The verb is an active, constant state verb. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. Him alone shall you give importance to. But if you have an idea and give it some importance, more than you would no idea or anything else, then you're not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. I've said, and this is, I believe this with everything in me, that since the resurrection of Christ, or really since the cross, every idea and improvement and invention of man has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ, to flee the moment of 100% dependence on God. Every idea.
Well, let's turn it around. You have to do the last word in the door. What happens? Does it just happen? You never have any part of it? Or do you get an idea about what you want to say, and then you talk to John and say, John, let's do this?
Well, there's any given moment, there's a jillion things that I could write about, and I don't usually do it until the last minute.
But there
are like
ideas.
In this, well,
it's the same thing. They come from somewhere, and you have to respond because you have an obligation to do the last word.
Well,
now if you give that power and get mad if it doesn't work, I can see where that puts you over the line. But there's no way to function in life without something taking place in this realm. And I mean, this is important to get into it because I think the idea is when you cross over and are willing to hold on, like this idea is my life. And
but somehow. It has to be made, the word has to be made flesh in you in this arena. And it will either happen that there is a simplicity and it's just life, or it will happen that you have a good idea. I mean, it's not me that you are. I mean, the carnal mind is enmity. We have the mind of Christ, which is total emptying, never giving breath to anything that originates in it. So the way of Cain is digging around in the dirt to find a solution instead of 100% dependence on God.
Two are mutually exclusive then.
This is what you must see with an urgency. You must determine this for your own self.
Well, I've already determined that that's what we're talking about.
But you've determined that some of the ideas are important and necessary.
Well, only you know, what I've determined is your attachment to it. Is the issue, not the idea itself. That's where I'm landed here, because there's no way I'm going to go out today and not come up with thoughts about how to produce the things I do in the business that I've been given to do. I mean, it can't be done. So I don't know if I'm coping or if this is just the answer. I see the way I operate in my job. I come up with stuff all the time. If people like it, fine. If they don't, fine. Go to something else. It just doesn't matter to me. And that's how it has to be.
Okay, well, for each one of you, this is an incredibly important. And you must come to terms with it. Because one is the way of Cain, and the other is the way of Abel. Now, is there a? I know what I think, and I know what I believe, and I know what is necessary for me. But I can't define that for you. This is where the word has to be made flesh in you, so that you know that you cast down imaginations, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, there is an idea in the universe that can stand against it is finished, it is perfect. So there's an obvious conflict, there's a contradiction here between what you believe and what we teach. Now, that contradiction it's wonderful, there's no problem with it, but you can't let it be. You can't. You cannot address it, because you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does everybody understand what we're talking about?
I was thinking about Gary's example at the beginning, where you see a need, and then because the elders have to do this, they have to get the others. Okay, how are we going to meet this need? For instance, there's a homeless person.
Well, yeah, I know. You know, and that's.
But then it either
It's either matter or not. If we have the,
we either have room or we don't.
Right.
And so
there's resources or isn't.
Yeah, and so it's going, you know. It's,
but in that process, are there not ideas? So maybe there's an idea definition that's missing here or something.
Well,
I mean, just in the.
And at that point, you go to digging. You either dig in the dirt. You know,
if there's nothing there, then you never judge by what you don't have at that instant. If you have to dig, then I mean, that's what, because it's the digging that creates the anxiety, and that once the anxiety comes into the picture, then peace is gone. And before you know it, you can be down that road. You can be on that road of Cain, you know, for months before you find out, my God, what happened? I mean, either we cast down imaginations and every single idea, every single high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, or we don't. Either we live in 100,000%, if there is such a thing, dependence, 110%, excuse me, on God every second, or we don't. Because if we don't, then we have a form of godliness but deny His ability. And we can justify this very subtly. And all I'm asking each of you to do, I'm not giving you an answer, all I'm asking each of you to do is to make sure that the Word has been made flesh in you so that you know, and that it can stand against some idiot like me. Because if you don't, then you're going to, you know, you're going to be able to be deceived by a lottery ticket or by.
To me, it's like that. There's a Hallmark card ad. Have you seen that? Where the lady's like serving cookies and she overhears this conversation about the new baby and car and all that, and she's got these cards just ready. She goes in there and she gives the cards out, and they're so impressed that she was prepared for those cards. And then it cuts back, and she's in the store imagining if she buys these cards, this moment will happen in the future. And to me, that's the danger of the idea is now I can control the destiny and improve the future. I love this idea because I love me in the future as a result of this idea.
No, for some reason in the economy of God, we know that you're subject to this, and that's why I want you to be so aware of it, and so make it meet, and make sure it can stand against some idiot like me. And this has application to others also, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've been listening intently, and the thing that comes to me right now is, you talk about you aren't judged on what you don't have, you're judged on what you do have. It isn't what you do with what doesn't exist, it's whether you do or don't interact with what's there right now. Excuse me, and I'm just thinking about there's this thing where you can sit back and project into the future and analyze and try and come up with constructs, ideas, whatever they might be, or you can just
pray.
You can just react to what's in front of your eyes and in your hands. And I mean, I know that I've caused myself endless grief trying to solve problems and not doing what's there to be done then.
Yeah, and remember the end of this is this childlike faith. The end of this is I do nothing except what I see the Father do. I say nothing. I am nothing. I have no life. I have no problems. Many times we think of the situation that we are in as a problem, and that we have to therefore take action, take thought, dig in the dirt to solve it. And what happens, and you can show this in a million ways, but what happens when you do that is slowly but surely you end up more and more and more in debt. Not just financial debt, but you end up in debt to the flesh.
And more disengaged, more of a manipulator, and utilitarian. Well, you become Satan. That's what you become.
Your way of life is the way of the snake, and yet you have put God's name on it.
And Satan's falls began with an idea.
I will. The five I wills of Isaiah 14. Ideas are worshipped by all men. And I would that you not be seduced by those, that you would follow only His voice, that you would hear only Him, that you would have the mind of Christ, which is total 100% emptying of this thing. And it's a critical issue that each of you must deal with. I can't deal with it for you because I'm not in your mind. But you can't. It's something for which there has to be, it has to become meat to you. It can't be something that this feels icky, but I'm not going to think about it right now. Amen? You know, just like, you know, some people in here are subject to be seduced by alcohol, you're subject to be seduced by these things in this arena. And each one of us are subject to be seduced by something.
Jim and I were talking yesterday about a guy that we all used to know who had a camp up in Oklahoma. And he always had these great ideas of how he was going to become rich and famous. He was going to be a success. I'll do this and I'll do that. He was always so busy with his, like Ralph Cramden on The Honeymoon, always get rich quick ideas. And while doing that mental masturbation, the water was just eroding away the beach that he was standing on. His life was falling apart, professionally and personally, while he was engaging in these masturbatory dreams.
But they all these things happen. And each of us are subject to a different arena of test, so that they can be expressed openly, so that we can be knit together in love. I know that none of you would be here if your heart's desire wasn't to please the Father. And so the pleasing of the Father has to be, from what we know, it can only happen in our death. And that means the death of our minds. And the placing of the Son, the fullness of the Son is within us. And even He who was in the form of God thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but humbled, emptied Himself, made Himself of no reputation. So even though He had all the power in the universe, in the mind, He was always gone. It was always empty. And I think that all of you would be shocked to see the faithfulness of God. I mean, we talk about His faithfulness. Well, He was faithful over here in this little thing, and He was faithful over here in this little thing here. But I'm talking about the non-ending faithfulness, that never varies faithfulness, that requires your total abandonment of self and all that you are. Amen?
Amen.
This is
about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that's kind of the issue. It's anything from here that gets you farther than the moment, then you're out of the kingdom. You're back into your own realm, the sacred realm, the world realm, whatever realm.
Well, he's the light that lighteth every man, but men love darkness more than the light. And that light, that darkness is...
Yeah.
Look, so I can see a light bulb here.
Yeah, that's a good example.
All righty. Take a big guy.